shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
You are listening to the Seattle Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every other week on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from the 505 Broadway Studios. I'm Brad Berger, along with my colleague and co-host today, J.B. Wilson. We'll figure out why that is in a moment, who is pinch hitting for Dan Whedon today. You can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And if you are subscribed, please rate us. Our podcast on iTunes is an important that we receive your feedback, and it helps us grow and improve. So our guest today is our very own Dan Jose Whedon.
The one and only.
The one and only. So we're going to get to Dan in just a little bit, JB.
We're going to let him sweat it out in the hot seat.
We are because
it's the roles have been reversed.
And he was okay, but I've got some good questions.
Perfect.
For Dan today. But on my way into work today, there was just a lot of news flow, and one of the things that I was reflecting on, JB, is just kind of the importance of having all of the facts, mm-hmm. and making sure you've got all the necessary data. There seems to be a lot flowing around there, and lots of accusations flying, and so-and-so did this and didn't do this, and fake news this and real news that. And, you know, and then I find myself getting to work today working on a project that's very much based upon needing to know the facts and making sure you have all the data,
especially before making decisions, right, based on those. And so where you see that both in the business world but in news and people making decisions that aren't based on everything, that much more important,
right? Or jumping to conclusions,
right.
So you know, yeah. this is a project I know that you're familiar with because we've been working on it here pretty diligently, which is the transition of a database from one client relationship manager to another. And despite all of the tools and techniques and promises you have from one CRM company to another of how compatible they are, it's amazing.
There's always something around the corner to
what? Oh, we didn't know you had that field,
right?
What does that field mean? So anyway, we're getting there. But again, I think it's important that we all operate with a great degree of facts. And the fact today is we've got a very special guest. We've got Dan Whedon. So I'd like to spend just a moment sharing with the audience how Dan and I met. And then I think you've got a pretty nice bio to read on him. So Dan and I met, it's going on 8+ years ago. And this is an organization that I know you're familiar with as a CFP, JB, and that is the Financial Plan Association. So I have been a member of the Financial Plan Association for decade plus. And one of the disadvantages of the FPA is that we're down here in the South Sound.
Right.
A large contingency of their membership is up north. So their monthly meetings are always up in Bellevue or Seattle. Now, for any of our listeners who are not familiar with the traffic challenges that we have here in the Puget Sound because of the beautiful water and mountain ways that restrict our travel, and that is that it is basically a half a day plus to go to a luncheon.
It's short on the map, and it looks like it's a quick jaunt,
right. Yes.
But it is a you have to plan your day.
Yes, and so the one and only time in the last decade that the Financial Planning Association had a lunch in the South Sound, it was at Fircrest Golf Club, where, yep, of course, we hold our economic forums. And guess who was the
one and only
speaker?
Oh, not even just there in attendance, but actually presenter.
The presenter,
whoa,
the speaker. And I figured, well, I guess this is the best they've got down here. I've got to get to meet Dan. So anyway, that's how Dan and I actually, conducted quite a bit of business together, and we've used his services. So how about reading his bio?
Sure. So Dan Whedon founded Toro Consulting Incorporated in 2005. He's an experienced entrepreneur, leader, and award-winning speaker who has a passion for consulting, coaching, and mentoring business leaders. He has the unique ability to translate his success in the insurance industry, public speaking, nonprofit nonprofit world and athletic coaching into applicable and transferable principles that dramatically improve the effectiveness of those business owners and executives he works with. He has helped drive performance and resilience improvement with countless small and mid-sized companies across the country, helping them ferociously protect their property, people, and profits, and create a better life for themselves and their employees. Dan has published 3 books, 2 of them commercially, with the latest titled Unleashed Leadership. He's an award-winning speaker that has presented to conferences and events in North and South America. He has been a regular monthly columnist for the Kitsap Business Journal since 2010. Dan's educational background includes formal education, certifications, and ongoing professional development. He is a 1987 graduate of the University of Washington, where he received his Bachelor of Arts degree in history. In March 2010, Dan was accredited as a master mentor by internationally renowned consultant and mentor, Alan Weiss. In 2012, he was inducted into the Million Dollar Consultant Hall of Fame, in which there is less than 100 consultants around the globe so honored. He is an active member of his community. He is a past president of his Rotary Club and served 5 years as an elected official for his public school board, where he spent 2.5 years as its president. He has been involved with numerous community organizations like the Sons of the American Revolution, Olympic College Foundation, the Miss America Scholarship Program, Toastmasters International, Kitsap Humane Society, and his church. On crisp fall Friday nights, you will find him in the press box at North Kitsap High School as the voice of the Vikings, as he is the stadium announcer for the high school football team. He enjoys playing golf, smoking fine cigars, listening to books, and being walked by his 2 faithful canine companions, Captain Jack and Bella. He and his wife of 31 years, Barb, reside in Poulsbo and are the proud new grandparents of what simply is the most beautiful baby ever born. Welcome, Dan. Congratulations.
Muy buenos días y gracias. this was in Spanish, right?
Let me do the Spanish version.
It's subtitled. Right. Yes, it's SAP, right?
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I'm a little bit nervous that I'm now batting second after Brad. So
you should have thought of that when we kind of arranged the schedule.
I should have thought of that. I want to give Brad the leadoff spot, but I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Dan, I'm going to put you on the spot right off here. We you're shocked, shock and awe. So I did my introduction. We've read your bio.
Yeah.
But if I were to meet you on the street, what is Dan Whedon's elevator speech?
Mm. And it's funny that you ask that, because I tell my clients that you should not have an elevator speech. You should take the stairs. Mm. And the reason I say that is that unless you're selling elevators, you shouldn't have an elevator speech. But I know what you're saying. You're asking what my value proposition is, how it is that I improve the conditions of others. And so as simply as I can say it, I help my clients, which are privately held, small and mid-sized businesses, to create and protect their wealth, their organizational and personal wealth, through helping them grow their business, and through helping them protect it to make sure that no calamity is fatal.
Boy, that sounds pretty good to me.
And if you take the stairs, you get all of that in. If you're on the elevator, it probably lost it at some point.
The floor number 4.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so
Or they got off.
They got off.
Whether it was their floor or not.
This is my stop. Thank you.
That's happened before, yeah.
How did you first get into this? Obviously, in reading your bio here, you've got a storied background, sort of going all over the space, insurance work and now consulting work. How is it that you found this is sort of your true calling, if you will?
Well, I started right out of college working in the insurance industry. My first job was as an underwriter for a company called United Pacific Insurance, which no longer exists. It wasn't my fault, by the way. But I started working there, and I soon found out I didn't want to be an underwriter, and I became an agent. And so for about 16, 17 years, I sold insurance. And what I realized was that I wanted to do more than just simply place insurance coverage. I really enjoyed working with clients to help them manage their risk. And one of the companies that I represented at the time, Federated Insurance, that was what their specialty. And so it got to a point, I did not have ownership in the agency. And I thought, you know what, I really want to do more. And so I started the consulting practice on a bit of a whim, thinking, now I can, now I'm not fettered by just simply selling insurance, and that's what I'm known for. I want to be able to take it to a much broader level and help people to make more strategic decisions on the fate of their companies.
Well, Dan, you know that our audience is entrepreneurs and individuals who are in business for themselves or potentially thinking about making the leap from corporate America in following their passion and creating a company. What do you see as you consult with various businesses is the number one issue that comes up over and over again that if somebody was going to make that leap, you wish they would have known before making it?
The biggest issue, believe it or not, I don't think is lack of funds. I think it's lack of confidence. There is, people who want to go into business usually have some sort of a skill. They're able to either be a they have a product or a service, yet the ability to get in front of other people who need their product and to be able to boldly and confidently ask for business and do some of the things that entrepreneurs need to do, I think there's a reticence there for a lot of people who have not been trained in sales at some level, that they are, too humble. They don't kind of take that extra step. So I think it's really kind of a lack of confidence that holds people back, especially initially.
You know, part of that too, that is, you mentioned this a lot on your website, that goes, I think, hand in hand with that, is being influential, the art of being influential. And you talk a lot about that on your website, how important that is, whether it's giving a presentation, a speech, or sitting in front of someone who could use your product or service. So talk a little bit about that and how influence really goes hand in hand with building up your confidence.
I think being influential is more important than just being a good speaker, because in business, if you really genuinely care about the people you're trying to help, you want them to do what you're asking them to either buy,
yep,
or to do what you want them to do. So you have to be able to speak in a way that tells them, yes, I care about you, and you really need to do this. So there's really an art and a science around influencing somebody to see your point of view, or at least to consider it. And I think that that's something more than just saying, hey, I don't mind speaking in front of people. A lot of people can stand up and confidently speak, but can they influence somebody else?
Right. So for individuals who are, you mentioned, you know, it's not lack of funds, it's lack of confidence. What advice would you give to somebody who is looking to make a jump into following their passion and starting a business or a company?
Join a Toastmasters club. Usually the people who want to do that, there's no lack of knowledge in their methodology and their skill and what it is that they do. There's a lack in being able to be bold and influence. And Toastmasters, I found, is a great place to fail. It's a great place to practice.
What is Toastmasters? Oh, yeah. For those who aren't
familiar. I'm sorry. Toastmasters International, probably the largest organization that teaches individuals how to speak and how to lead. And that's leadership is now part of that. It gives them a chance to speak professionally, so to speak, publicly speak, and get evaluated on different skills. To be able to get up and start doing that will build confidence. The better that they get at influencing, the more confidence will continue to grow. And it's always a skill that you can use, whether you're doing it professionally or personally. Maybe you're trying to influence your kids.
Or your spouse.
Or your spouse. Right. So I think being able to have that skill would be one of the very first things I'd recommend to somebody to do.
I'm pausing because I know that my wife is listening, and so I'm hoping that I didn't get myself in the doghouse with that. But Dan, I know that speaking influentially, speaking across large groups of people, small groups of people, is something that you've done in the past. Talk a little bit about your experience when you're getting in front of business owners. What is something that they tend to have trouble with in communicating their business to you? What is it? What is something that they usually find troubling presenting to you?
So they're in essence, what their elevator speech is, what their value, but they are too complicated.
Mm.
It's kind of the whole, tell me what I need to know, not everything you know.
Right.
What is it that simply, 10 words or less, what is it that you do that improves the condition of somebody else? Why do you exist? And too often they get involved in the methodology. Well, we build this, we do that. Okay, but what do you increase? What do you improve? What do you enhance? What do you accelerate? What do you reduce? What is it that you do that improves the life or condition of somebody else? And if they can be more pithy about that, I think they're going to be more influential.
Great.
Well, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with our guest, Dan Whedon, for our Hot or Not section of the show, we will ask this very question. What does Dan think of cynophilists? Don't walk away. We'll be right back with more of The Shrimp Tank.
The Seattle Shrimp Tank is brought to you by IdealLifeAdvice.com. Everything you're being told about how to live a healthy, productive life is only half the story. Experts now agree that our most productive and vital years are the ages of 55 to 85 and beyond. Yet our culture still operates on the paradigm that it's game over at age 65. That's 30 years of lost relationships, creativity, earnings, and fun. Even worse, people are hopping on the culturally conforming conveyor belt of early mental and social disengagement, accelerated physical decline, and premature death. IdealLifeAdvice.com and the Vital Lifelong Alignment is all about fostering a new culture based on living the life of your dreams and thriving well past 100. We choose to check in rather than check out of life in our prime later years, resulting in massive gains in purpose, vitality, wealth, friendship, and overall life satisfaction. The other half of the story is yours for the asking. Visit www.IdealLifeAdvice.com to begin the life of your dreams.
Welcome back to The Shrimp Tank, where we interview the best and brightest CEOs and business owners in the greater Puget Sound area. Once again, I am JB Wilson, along next to my esteemed co-host, Brad Berger. Please remember, you can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. And please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. For our next segment, Hot or Not, I'm not even going to try to repeat the word that Brad had mentioned, or the question, I should say, because I can't remember it nor pronounce it.
So the Hot or Not question I was going to ask was, I wanted to know what Dan really thought of cynophilists.
Yes.
I'm lukewarm on them.
You're lukewarm on them?
I don't know. I don't even know.
This is the section of the show where we're going to kind of pepper Dan with a variety of questions, and he's going to get to say whether he thinks they're hot or not and provide a bit of an explanation. And of course, he always does a phenomenal job of asking these questions with these lead-ins and lead-outs. And so I had to step up game. So a cynophilist is a dog fancier.
Ah. I'm going to need to get that spelling and put it someplace.
Well, I have it phonetically, and I can also spell it because it's not easy.
So am I? What do I think? Hot or not?
Yeah. What do you think about dogs?
Smoking hot. You know. So look, you know, my co-author Captain Jack is pictured. In fact, I think that's the picture I gave to Sue. Is pictured with me, and I've been told by many readers of my book that they think Captain Jack is a better writer than I am, and that he deserves a raise. And I tell them, well, he gets free food, free rent, free health care for life. I think it's a pretty good deal. Dogs are great, and we've had
dogs. He's not Canadian, is he?
No, but he is pirate. He is a pirate. So, you know, we've had dogs in our family. Barb and I probably got our first family pet when the girls were like a year old. So we've had dogs, and we've normally had two dogs at any one time. And you know what? It was kind of what we talked about last week. Remember, dogs in the workplace. There's just something fun. And I think and I use the dog a lot in the book in talking about how dogs view life. And I know that's somewhat simplistic, but if we as humans viewed life as dogs, I think we'd have a whole better human race.
Mm-hmm. I you know, we just officially became friends because we're now connected on Facebook.
We weren't friends before that.
Of course, a friendship doesn't start until it's official.
Until it's electronic.
Until it's on Facebook. So I've started to see, you know, your dog pictures, family pictures. So transitioning a little bit to a hot or not, kind of a generic question here. Hot or not social media. I know you're very active on it, so I can guess your answer. But talk a little bit about how you utilize that, how business owners utilize that, and how that can help someone who's just either starting out as a business owner or wants to make the jump.
So I'm going to say it depends.
Okay.
I think everybody in business needs to have a presence on social media, but it has to be the right presence. So for example, we had a couple weeks ago, Rachel Young on. She makes cupcakes. So she's a retailer and she has retail stores. She should be extremely active on Facebook and probably on Instagram because it's very visual, yet Twitter and LinkedIn, maybe not so much. As a consultant, I am more active on LinkedIn and on Twitter because that's where the people who I'm trying to reach are on. It's so about it's strategy.
And knowing your audience.
And knowing your audience.
Not so much just being on it in general, but knowing the right medium.
You're knowing the right medium and spending your time on that medium. It's like the new Yellow Pages. Somebody's going to check you out. And depending on who that person is, for me, my guess is it's going to be a CEO, a president, a CFO maybe, somebody in a C-suite or a business owner. They're likely to go to my LinkedIn profile. And so I better have a good LinkedIn profile. And so I think social media is an important part of strategic marketing. But like any other strategic marketing, you need to know who your audience is.
So this is a question that we've asked many times on the show, but I always like to get everybody's different perspective on it. And I know enough about you and your business, but now that I thought it was a grandchild, but clearly it's the most beautiful baby ever born. You should. But the question comes to giving the business to the kids or the grandkids.
You know, family businesses are tough. I've worked with a lot of family businesses. I think that there is great opportunity there to build a legacy. Now, number one is you should never force the kids into the business. That's no good. That's no bueno. But if you have a situation where everybody involved wants to do something entrepreneurial and there is a same committed passion for that work, I think what a better legacy than that, to be able to have to work with them. Now, my wife Barb works with me now, and that's been great. That's been a lot of fun. If my children, well, one's a nurse, so I doubt she will, but if my children ever said, you know, we'd like to learn, I'd be all for it. I think that would be great to work with my children. There might be other situations that it's not so great because, unfortunately, awkward things come up. It depends on the family, but I think that I think it's hot.
You have been very active, it seems like, your whole life in various elements of the community, whether that's in church or athletics or professional organizations. So hot or not, community involvement, but also more so talk a little bit about how entrepreneurs and business owners can use that not only for their personal development and growth, but also from a professional standpoint.
Well, I think it's hot. I mean, I joined Rotary when I was 28 years old. I was invited in. And originally, I went in with the thinking of this is a business opportunity. And then I later learned that it was a giving back opportunity as I got older, as I got into my 30s and 40s. And as long as you're doing it for the right reason, that will show through. If somebody goes into, whether it be Rotary or some other service club or something else, with the intention of wanting to sell and to market, they're going to be found out very quickly. That being said, I'm going to guess that 75% to 80% of my business over the 25 years I've been in Rotary has had some influence from Rotary because we've developed a relationship. And so I think from both a personal reward standpoint, and also a professional reward standpoint, community service, wherever that is for you, is important.
Mm-hmm. This is a question that I've asked many of our guests, Dan, and I again, it's from the same three. The reason I ask it is I really like to get different people's perspectives on it and what they have found works or not. But hot or not, having a business plan?
I'm going to say not, and with a caveat. The problem with a business plan is you might just hit it, and that's it. You have to have a business process. You have to have a model. And I think where business plans, the traditional business plans, fall short is they don't talk about how do you acquire business. Many of the ones that you kind of get off the shelf, so to speak, are about methodology and corporate being incorporated. And this is what, how do you get business? What's your marketing plan? We just talked about social media. If you told me that you had a business model and a process that talked about utilizing social media, utilizing speaking, utilizing referrals, utilizing picking up the phone, and this is how you're going to acquire new clients, then that's a great plan. But if it's just because we pulled a business plan off and we were told that we needed to do it, I think that it bogs you down.
One of the questions I'm interested in knowing your particular perspective on has to do with business books. So hot or not business books. And what I mean by that is a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, whether they're just starting out into business or whether they've been a business owner for quite some time, or there's a plethora of 4-hour work week, efficiency related books as it relates to entrepreneurs. I think some of those are kind of hype and some of them, there's probably some gems in there. So what are your thoughts on developing via those business self-help books?
Lukewarm. And because of what you said, there's a gazillion. And you and I, Brad, we both have business books
yes,
out
we do.
There.
Those are good.
Well, thank you. and you should read them. However, here's what I'm going to say. I think, and I believe I remember our very first guest, Griff, talked about it. I think in order to be a well-rounded entrepreneur, you need to be a well-rounded reader. I believe that reading fiction can be just as important to your ability to work with others and grow your business, because there's a certain amount of creativity and knowledge and learning that comes with fiction and reading history and reading business books that make sense for you. So I think there are really good business books, but there's a gazillion of them out there. I think being a well-rounded reader is more important than just saying, and I'll say this really quickly because I know that you have other questions. I knew a guy once who that's all he would read. All he would read
was
business books. And I remember sitting in a car once and with him, and I said, "You ever heard of Tom Clancy?" And he goes, "I don't know what business is he in." Well, he writes books. That's the business he's in, and he writes great for you. Hunt for Red October, all this.
Yeah, that turn into movies. Yeah. That's his business.
Turn into movies.
He writes books that turns into movies.
Well, he said, "You know what? My wife's going to be gone this weekend. I think he read all of Tom Clancy in a weekend, and he was mesmerized. And I think that made chapter. By the way, there are things called chapters, but right. I think that was yes. So I think reading is important.
Well, and you hit on it. Well, is not only reading for reading's sake, but being well-rounded in that.
Well, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors, and when we come back with our guest Dan Jose Whedon for our Plead the Fifth section, we're going to ask this very question: what is your obsession with bondage? Don't walk away. We'll be right back with more of the Shrimp Tank.
The Seattle Shrimp Tank is brought to you by Toro Consulting. Dan Whedon helps small and medium-sized business owners and entrepreneurs to grow, develop, and protect their business to create a better life for themselves and their employees. Dan helps companies to improve revenue generation, accelerate leadership development, and ferociously protect profits. If you'd like a 30-minute consultation with Dan as a Shrimp Tank listener, then text Shrimp Tank to 360-271-1592 or email at dan@danweedon.com to schedule your time. Contact Dan today to get started on dramatically improving your business and life. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview the best and brightest CEOs in the greater Puget Sound area. I'm JB Wilson alongside the great co-host Bradley Allen Berger, and you can always catch a replay of the podcast at seattle.shrimptankpodcast.com. Please don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Our next section is Plead the Fifth. Brad asked a very interesting question, and Dan, as a reminder, you get one plea the fifth.
No, I'm not going to I'm not going to plead the fifth.
No.
Give him one.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Co-hosts of the show get none.
No.
They get none. And by the way, for our listeners, that one, that needs to go on the gag reel.
Yeah. And by the way, I will not fair catch. That's what I was going to say. I will not fair catch on any of these. I'll return all punts.
Yeah. The because this is a live show.
Yes.
And there are no take backs and there are no re-records when we're streaming live. But the question that I asked was, what is your obsession with bondage? And of course, what I'm referring to is your book. So could you tell us a little bit, before we get into Plead the Fifth, just tell us a little bit about your most recent book.
And I was going to say, it makes me tongue-tied. I had a good response for that. You might be talking about the Invisible Fence part.
No, I'm talking about the book that features...
Unleashed Leadership.
There we go.
Yes.
Unleashed.
Yes. Oh, leadership. I got you. Well, yeah. And I was thinking about the Invisible...
We've got to put this...
Yeah, this is a finely tuned machine. So Unleashed, I'll just say this. The book, the title came that I believe is kind of what goes back to the dog thing. You know, if you unleash Captain Jack, who's a Jack Russell Terrier, if you unleash him, he is not calling a committee meeting to see if he needs to proceed, if he's going to go out and attack the world, you know, what his next adventure, and he's gone. Unfortunately for us, we kind of hide sometimes between our own invisible fence, and we hesitate at something that we really want to do because fear is holding us back. And so the whole prospect of unleashed, being unleashed, is about unleashing your talent to the world because you only get one shot.
So the Plead the Fifth, and the way this works is we're going to, again, pepper you with questions, and you're going to have to...
Just answer them.
Yeah,
no,
you're
fair
have to
catches. I'm returning
right.
Everyone.
Because there is no Plead the Fifth in this particular segment for you, so you're going to have to
give it to
them.
Me.
So I would like you to tell us about a time, if there ever was one, where a client engaged you. You were so enthusiastic about accepting them as a client. You got into it, and you essentially came to the conclusion there is absolutely no way to fix this.
No hope for the client.
I can tell you one. Yeah, no. Yeah. And I
because I have a follow-on question to that if you don't answer.
Remember you mentioned that I am a master mentor. The very first client that I got who wanted to become a consultant, she was a speaker and wanted to become a consultant, and so we went down the path of these are the things that you need to do. And she kept telling me, you know, I've spoke about that with my husband and he doesn't think that's a good idea. I said, okay, is he a consultant? Well, no, but he knows a lot. Okay, great.
He stayed at the Holiday Inn last night. Tonight.
Yeah, and so I would keep saying, you know, you have to call people, you have to do this. And she goes, I'm a little uncomfortable. And you know, because I feel like I'm being too bold or too pushy. And I finally said, this might not be the career for you. You know, and this is my first mentoring client. I think your money was well spent because I think we realized very soon that this is not the career for you. So yes, every time she turned down any type of advice or her husband turned it down for her, I realized quickly this ain't working out.
So my follow-on question to that is, and I don't know what the current statistic is, but I think many of our listeners will know that, you know, statistically speaking, in the United States, for every business, you know, so many hundreds of businesses that are started, you know, X amount of them mm-hmm. fail. And it's a fairly large percentage in the first year, first 18 months, first mm-hmm. 24 months. So the question that I really have is, and it's a hard one, but some of our listeners may be contemplating this, struggling this, and it's, when do you know to throw in the towel?
I've had to do it. And so I don't know if you even know this. Barb and I started a business franchise in 1993. It's what got us to move to Kitsap County, to Silverdale at the time. And it was a franchise called Little Jim.
Little gym?
The little gym. Mm-hmm. And there's little gyms around. And I had actually, they were my insurance client.
What is it?
It's a place for kids to learn gymnastics and other sports things. And that was up right at our alley. And so we started this, and it became apparent that although we were finding some success, the information that we had gotten was not quite right about the demographics, and we were paying very high rents and employee costs in a place that couldn't substantiate it. We went about 2 years. We tried many different types of things. And then, just as the Reader's Digest version, we got to a point that we looked at each other and said, not only is this not sustainable, we are drowning in this. And we had to just shut it down. We couldn't sell it. And it's painful, and it costs a ton of money, and there's a large humility factor. But at some point, when you realize that bringing in enough business to pay for your overhead, there's no way to do it. At some point, you have to kind of bite the bullet and say, this isn't working.
Dan, there are many different shows, what I'll call business, I'm using air quotes for our listeners, business consultancy shows, Shark Tank, mm-hmm. The Profit. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite one? Or do you enjoy those?
I don't even watch them. I have to tell you, I've watched the Shark Tank a few times, but I don't watch them. I watch a lot of TV. I'm a TV junkie, but I don't watch any of those.
Not the business show.
Yeah. Okay, well, you open the door and walk right through it. So what is your guilty pleasure on TV?
I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure, but I'm going
to
share with you my newest.
I want to know what your guilty pleasure.
Well, here's my, okay, this is my guilty pleasure, my latest binge. My daughter Kelly got Barb and I started watching Stranger Things, and I on Netflix. I don't know if anybody
is
familiar.
I've not seen it.
We literally couldn't put it down, and the new season starts on the 27th of October. I know that. Netflix, they put all 8 episodes right in a row, and it's one of those shows that you can just watch in a couple of days. So my latest one, and I have different places I go with different shows, but it's Stranger Things on Netflix.
I'm glad that I'm in the company of all dog people, and I know we've kind of talked to that about this a lot, but for a kind of a fun plead the fifth, which one is your favorite? They're
boy,
listening.
I know they're listening. So here's the deal. Oh gosh.
Surprisingly, this is the toughest plea the fifth question.
That's good. Good question.
My favorite of the dogs. I can't, it's like kids. I can't say I love them both equally and in different ways. Captain Jack is the craziest dog, but Bella's my girlfriend. I call her my girlfriend, the only one I have other than my wife. It's a split down the middle. I cannot tell you I love one more. They would kill me when I get home.
I'll let that pass.
You're going to let that go?
I'll let that
qualify. Okay. Or we could ask Barb to turn the podcast to mute, and then you could really answer the question for us.
Oh. I'm leaving it at that. Yeah. That's the best I can do.
That's the best you can
do. That's the best I can do.
That seems kind of like a...
All right, listen. I've had Captain Jack longer, so he wins by a nose. He wins by a nose. There, I told you I would never let you down.
Yeah, well, good. So, plead the fifth. You have, I think, shared this before, because it's a question that you have asked our guests before, but... Who is your celebrity crush?
Oh, I'm glad you... I was hoping...
I was going to ask that.
I was hoping you would ask that.
All right.
She's actually a local talent that if you watch Fox football on Fox, Carissa Thompson. I don't know if you're familiar with Carissa Thompson. You should all become familiar with her. She's one of the football...
announcers?
I know she's not really an announcer. She's like a field
sideline
person, and she does
the
report. Yeah, Carissa, and she's been on actually many other. I think she's on Entertainment Tonight. Carissa Thompson is my celebrity crush.
Very good.
And Barb knows that.
Full disclosure.
She knows that. I let her know whenever that happens.
And she's listening.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, we wanted to thank you so much. See how fast this
Unbelievable.
Goes?
Unbelievable. I didn't even see any of the things flashing up saying what time we had left. So
we go.
We're only halfway through.
you know, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. So for our listeners that want to get in touch with you or learn more about your company, how can they get more information?
Very simple. As long as you spell my name right, www.danweedin, W-E-E-D-I-N.com. You can get my phone number and my email, dan@danweedin.com. That's the very best way to get a hold of me.
Our next show will be on Wednesday, November 1st, same time, same place, 3 p.m. Pacific time, and we will be interviewing Ty Belknap with MyCoach.life. Once again, make sure you check out all the replays on Seattle.ShrimpTankPodcast.com, and remember, to become a shark, we all start out as shrimps.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. We're the Chris Hanks. We want to put it all together. This is big thanks. Doing big things. Chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real. This life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream. All the dudes yell. This is just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort.